Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you and we love you. Thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us up to this day. And thank you for the ones that come tomorrow. Thank you for the way that you guide us each and every hour of the day, even when we have short-sightedness and can't see your hand. But thank you for blessing our faith and helping us in our unbelief so that we can be stronger. Thank you for forgiving our sins, cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with that latter rain, so that we can go forth and glorify you like no other. Please bless your children with the signs that are prophesied to follow them, so that many come into the fold and come out of Babylon. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sabbath blessings, dear brethren. Very blessed to be here with you today in word, and just praying that each and every one of you may be blessed by this upcoming sermon and sermons to come. The title of this sermon is Back to Eden, and I would just like to go over a few things first before we begin. This is strictly upon the diet for which God had introduced to us in Eden, to our family, you know, our first parents. And we will follow this through Genesis all the way to the second coming of Christ. We will be going over different things on how this diet relates to us, spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally, as far as the blessings if we follow this diet and the horrors that may come if we do not. And I would like to mention here just a few ages of some of the patriarchs. You know, Adam being 930 years old, Seth 912 years old, Methuselah 969 years old, Noah 950 years old when he died, and Abraham 175, Isaac 180 years, Jacob 147, and David 70 years. Now these are the lifespans of a few people that are mentioned in the scriptures. And I like to just compare that with average age of death for certain countries in this world today. We have Japan and Hong Kong and Switzerland and Israel all at 82 years. Australia and Singapore at 81. The U.S. at 78. Philippines at 71. India at 64. And bringing one of the lowest ones, Zimbabwe at 43. So what I have noticed, and hopefully you guys have noticed, is a very stark difference between the beginning and close to the end where we're at now. And not only is sin attributed to this, but mainly diet and the sin that we have in our diet. So then again, I would like to begin in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, and share with you a few words from the Lord. Genesis 1, verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:29. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So we see that God has given us every herb-bearing seed for meat, or for food. We are to feast upon these fruits. We are to thank God for these things, for they are what we need to grow, what we need to experience good, proper health. And it says God created the seed as he created the earth, by his word. By his word he gave it power to grow and multiply. In order for us to know what are the best foods, we must study God's original plan for our diet. He, the one who created us and who understands our need, appointed Adam this food. He said, Behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for me. Brethren, in order for us to maintain health, in order for us to have the good blood that is needed to supply the organs with health, a sufficient supply of good food, good nourishing food is needed. Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2, verses 16 to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we see that God had planted these trees in the midst of the garden, throughout the garden, that we may be pleasant to our sight to look upon, that we may take pleasure in these things to look at, as in nature, that it is relaxing to us, but also for food. But one stipulation was one tree was not to be touched, not to even go near, and that was of the knowledge of good and evil. Though Adam and Eve, brethren, were created innocent and holy, they were not placed beyond the possibility of sinning. God could have created them without the power to sin against his law, but he wanted to see if they would be voluntary in their service to obey him out of love. He did not make robots. So he gave them the power of choice, the power to obey or disobey his precepts. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, as we continue on, shall we see if there's someone who would lie? Someone who might tell our parents that they shall not surely die, that lie against the Lord? We read on. Genesis 3, verses 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of that fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Brethren, we see that the devil was at work very quick to deceive our parents, to deceive Eve. God has given instructions before this temptation came of what to do, as he gives each and every one of us instructions for the next day and for this day, through answered prayer, through his word. He has given us this instruction that we need to overcome and to know what the devil is up to before it's presented to us. When Eve saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to her eyes, deceived through the eyes, she was, brethren. There's a saying that the eyes eat first. You know, we sit down and try to eat food, and the first thing we see if people are eating this way, we see these cakes with all these fancy colors. We see all this stuff that's trapped up for the eyes that makes us want those things. We don't even know what they taste like, but they look so good to us that it has to be good. And she also is a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of that fruit and did eat, and it satisfied her taste, and she seemed to feel for a minute more lively power and imagine herself in a higher state of existence. But herself, having sinned, she's now fallen prey, and she's tempted her husband, and he did eat. Satan wanted it to appear that the knowledge of good mixed with evil would somehow be a blessing to them, and that God in forbidding them to take of the fruit of that tree, he was withholding great blessings from them. Satan urged that the tree would impart a great wisdom and power that God did not want them to take. Therefore, Satan accused God of withholding greater happiness and power, which we know is not true. Satan had declared he had eaten the forbidden fruit, and as a result, now he could speak. And if they would, they would have a higher existence and a higher knowledge if they would eat of the same fruit. But my dearest brethren, what Satan had not mentioned, and he did not want to mention, was by his transgression, he was tossed from heaven. He was outcast. Here is where deceit has come to them. Them by being infatuated, by being flattered and lied to by these words, could not see the deception that was spoken to her. But she was already warned before time. But she coveted what God had not given her, and distrusted his very words, and at the same time threw away that faith, which was the key to knowledge, her faith, was his precious words. Brethren, we need to see if those eyes were truly opened. You know, what did our parents see? Was Satan telling half-truth? In Genesis 3, verse 11 to 12, and he said, God, that is, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. What catches my attention first is the eyes were truly open. And on top of this, Adam immediately starts to blame. He puts the blame on someone else. We're to be blameless, brethren. He puts the blame on the woman, and then he puts the very blame on his master, God, for giving him that woman. The woman gave him the fruit, and now, according to Adam, God is guilty because God gave him that woman. So we see how quickly sin has come in, how quickly it has come in and started to rot the downfall. That now we are blaming our very master for giving us that precious gift of marriage, of another human being to be with us, because we indulged our appetite. Because your eyes shall be open, Satan has said. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Their eyes were definitely open, but how sad was that moment? The knowledge of evil, the curse of sin, were all that Adam and Eve gained in this. The fruit was never a poisonous. Nothing in and of the fruit was bad. The sin was strictly disobedience and giving into appetite, into distrusting God's goodness, the disbelief of his word, and the rejection of his authority that made our first parents transgressors and that brought into the world a knowledge of evil. It was this that opened the door to every species of falsehood and error and to immediately blame our Creator for what he has done. When man lost everything because he chose to listen to the enemy rather than to the Creator who gave him the truth and gave him the instruction on what to do and what not to do, and him alone that has this understanding. By mixing evil with good, man's mind becomes confused. His mental and spiritual powers are very weakened. No longer can he appreciate all that God has freely given. And that's where blame comes in. See, Adam and Eve had chosen disobedience, and they had chosen this knowledge of evil. And if they were ever going to be reconciled back to the Creator, they must do it under the woeful conditions that they have brought upon themselves in all of this world, including me and you. Now they must do this outside of Eden, where the curse of sin was abundant. Brethren, but we know that he gave his only Son to reconcile us back. That's being Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord for his name, that we were not cast off, that mankind was not cast aside because of this transgression. Now, we're going to see if God goes ahead and tells Adam and Eve if it's going to get worse now. You know, what is going to be the result of what they've done? Is it going to continue on? Genesis 3, verses 17 to 18. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife instead of his voice, I might add, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. See, God's saying because Adam has hearkened unto the voice of his wife, he has hearkened to the voice of a mere human. He has hearkened unto the voice of someone who is not God, who is not creator, who does not understand the heaven, does not understand the world, does not understand these things that have been put in place. This is a result that we shall have to deal with too if we hearken unto other people's voices. If they tell us that these things are good, or if this thing is good or bad, or whatever it may be, we are to search the scriptures. We are to plead with God that he shows us this knowledge, which is the fear of him, that we may understand what he wants from us. Upon leaving Eden, man, in order for him to live, to have his livelihood, had to till the earth now under the curse of sin. And then man received the permission also to eat the herb of the field. So brethren, we summed up Eden now as far as what our parents had done there, what they did and did not do. Now we need to see, we'll go further and see if there is a direct result upon the world, as God has said there will be. Is there a direct result that we can link and we can see as a witness to ourselves of what happened? Genesis 6, verses 5 to 8. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his very heart. At his heart he was grieved. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we see, brothers and sisters, that not only was God telling the truth when he said the floodgates would be opened upon this earth, that the curse would be upon this earth, the thorns and thistles and all these things, but that it crept into every imagination of their hearts, where they could only think of things evil. Okay? There was very few righteous people from the times of Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden to Noah. Okay, we know this. There was righteous men and women, but the overwhelming majority were evil. Okay? So much so that it grieved him at his heart that he had made us, and that he was willing to destroy man, and not only man, but the beasts and everything that crawls on the ground, anything that flies in the air. Okay? And we see from Adam and Eve now down to Noah, there were very few righteous. Again, very few righteous. Okay? And we see all this can be contributed from that trivial thing that the earth calls indulgence of appetite. My brethren, this is not a trivial matter. We must overcome appetite. And the only way is through our Lord Jesus Christ. We must strive for that perfection. We see the woe that disobeying in this regard has brought upon this very world. Okay, now we'll see what God had God instructed Noah to do something, and then had God instructed Noah again that something might be permitted after the flood? Genesis 6, verse 21 to 22. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. In Genesis 9, verses 3 to 4. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So we see, brethren, that God had given a command to Noah. And being the righteous man, he listened to this command. He has taken the food that they were eating at this time, the produce, the vegetation, and he had put it in on the ark for the beast and for him to sustain them and his family throughout the flood. Okay, we see here now that once they get off of this ark, there's no living thing on earth. There's no vegetation, no green thing. So God permits that the life of this animal can be used, you know, can be exterminated to be used as food, the flesh. Okay? So we see that this is directly after sin for one, and directly after the flood for another. Okay? After he had to destroy everything else because it was only evil. Okay? Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Okay? There was more animals taken that were clean than unclean. And I know the Lord knew this was coming, okay? This is why he directed Noah to do that. Before this time, God had not given man permission to eat animal food. He intended that race, us, should live wholly upon the productions of the earth. But now that every green thing had been destroyed, he allowed them to eat the flesh of the clean beasts that had been preserved in the ark. And the Lord laid out another guideline that you should not eat the blood of these animals. So we've covered up to Noah now. Is there another person or people that with a direct disobeying or the direct giving in to the indulgence of appetite has caused great grief and pain to someone? And that is a complete instruction and lesson for us to learn from? Genesis 25, verses 27 to 34. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Brothers, sisters, this lesson, Jacob and Esau, okay, what Jacob did was wrong. What Esau did was even more wrong, okay? He sold his birthright for a morsel of food. We must take heed that we do not sell our birthright, which is heaven, for a morsel of food or for indulgence of appetite, okay? Christ died that we can gain victory in him and have heaven. His death is not in vain if we take hold of the promises. If we take hold of what he has done for us and we live this and we teach others to do it, it is not in vain. Okay? Let his death not be in vain for us. There is way too much giving and desire for things to enjoy of this time. There is not deep, sincere soul hunger for that spiritual strength and wisdom from heaven. We yield to sin. Appetite is indulged, and then we separate ourselves from God when this is done. This is taught in the case of Esau as one more example for us. The testing of his life came, and he didn't know it. What he thought was trivial and deserved little thought was the exact thing that was going to determine the traits of his character. He showed what was important for him more than what should have been important. He had sold his birthright for a small indulgence to meet his present wants, and this determined the after course of his life. To Esau, a morsel of meat was more than the service of his master, that we, the people of God, the present truth believers, who are preparing a way back home to heaven, will consider that one wrong action on our part will cause such a stain that only the blood of Christ can wash away. Every single action that we take in this life should be carefully and prayerfully considered, for we are sending a witness to the world of blessings or curses. Okay? If Esau would have just prayed, and if Esau would have looked to the master for that strength when he was fainting, okay, for that last little bit of strength that he needed, if he would have looked to his Lord for that, he would not have sold his birthright. He would not have overlooked that was sacred just for a little morsel of food for his present wants. Let us who profess to follow Christ and read the Bible, read his word, consider what we are doing is a work that will last as eternity. No one in our world can do a selfish act, but that they are in danger of selling their birthright for a mess of pottage. See? Birthright. Heaven. Let them remember that Esau was controlled by his desires his appetite and inclination rule this man, and he sold his soul for the gratification of appetite. Are there any doing this who know the present truth? We are not to be ruled by appetite. We are not to be ruled by emotions. We are to be ruled by principle. Okay? Now, reading this, at one point did Esau feel like what he did was wrong, that he shouldn't have done that, did he feel sorrow for this? Genesis 27, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. See, an exceeding bitter cry. You know, virgins, the people when the harvest passes and they're not ready, that bitter cry that will be experienced by many. This was Esau's test, and this is a test that he failed miserably. After his desire was indulged, he regretted what he had done. Esau regretted it. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. May the Lord grant that everyone who has named the name of Christ shall depart from all iniquity. Okay? Every single trait. Okay? Everything we are to put away. We are judged by the light that we receive, but we're to always be searching for light. We're always to be living in that light that we have received. That way the Lord will bless us with more. Okay? Hiding your head in the sand to these issues will not do anyone any good. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Esau should have searched first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he would not have had to have that exceeding and bitter cry. He would not have had to feel what he felt. Brethren, this covers Genesis. Next week we're going to speak on Leviticus. We're going to continue on down this. Just to see where we have gotten from Eden to Jacob and Esau, that man is still dealing with the indulgence of appetite. He is still struggling with that from the first to right now. And we will see if this continues. I pray that each and every one of you are blessed by this message, that you may be here next week to hear part two, that we may continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we may continue to grow in life. That each and every one of you have a continued blessed Sabbath, and love each and every one of you. God bless. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood sustained me in the raging flood. When all supports are washed away, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Clothed in his righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before the throne.
Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us where we need to be blessed. Thank you for guiding us on this daily walk, especially in regards to our diet, the health message. Just as you did with the believers in the desert, you changed their diet so that they could be ready for the promised land. Thank you for changing ours. And thank you for blessing everyone on the prayer list that's having issues in this area. We also pray that you bless the remainder of this Sabbath day in a special way, and this week, so that we can all come together again next Sabbath to worship you. We thank you for all these things. In the name of your Son and our King, Jesus Christ.